Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. You know, Luke 12:35 says, "Be ready for service and have your lamps lit." And so I hope that the stories we share here, the tips that professionals come in and bring, that you find those encouraging to you, that we are helping to equip you for service. If it's foster care or adoption or respite or beginning a ministry at your church, everyone absolutely has a role to play in caring for the vulnerable in our world, in our states, in our counties, in our neighborhoods. And so with that thought today, I want to introduce a friend to you. Casey Pruitt is a sweet, sweet friend the Lord's brought in my life here at the North American Mission Board as she and Shane's life have merged with Kevin and mine. And so, Casey, thank you so much for being here today and be willing to share your story.
I'm so excited to be with you today.
Oh, thank you. Now, I know the Lord has blessed you guys with 5 children. And so there's a big story behind that. And I know you're incredibly busy with ministry at Lake Point Church. And so just tell us how the Lord brought all this together.
Yeah, so Shane and I have been married for 15 years. And Shane he grew up with his parents being foster parents. And so kind of when we started dating, we started the discussion of fostering or adopting. So we always knew that that would kind of be part of our family and our dynamic. And so we had 2 biological daughters, Reagan and Harper. And when Harper was probably about a year old, we started talking about adoption or foster care and just started praying about it and really decided on international adoption. And so we adopted our son Titus from Uganda, Africa, and he is now 8 years old. And then after that, we thought we were done. We've said that many times, which I think a lot of foster care and adoptive families have said.
Yeah, we say that a lot. Yeah.
Yes. And then God's like, no, you're not. And so after that, we did domestic adoption 2 different times. Our kiddos, Elliot and Glory, who are 4 and 3 now, were both domestic adoptions. And we have open relationships with their birth moms, which is really special. And we're currently in the process of adopting our 6th child from Liberia, Africa. We're just in the waiting stages of bringing him home at this point.
Wow. So I know the first child, so you had the girls, and then the Lord led mm-hmm. you into international adoption. You just really felt the call to go international first?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. We had just discussed our options and what that would look like, and God just opened a lot of doors and friendships to where we landed on international for our first adoption.
Well, I remember when Uganda was first opening up years and years ago. And, you know, sometimes in life we expect one thing. We think this is the way it's going to mm-hmm. go. And they ask us to fill out papers, you know, of what we'll take. And we don't think, we're not sure we can, you know, just whatever mm-hmm. our boundaries are or whatever our limitations are in adoption or foster care. And we're pretty honest on that paperwork. It's not easy to fill that out. Mm-hmm. But even though we're expecting one thing, sometimes that can look differently than what we're expecting. And I know that happened to me with bio kids and adopted kids.
So
I know you have a really big story of God's grace when you walk through adoption with Titus.
Yeah, so like you said, you know, when you're signing up for foster care and adoption, you have to fill out the checklist of things that you're open to or not open to when it comes to needs of the child. And you try to be honest or, you know, what you think you can handle. And so we filled out that checklist as we were starting the process for Uganda. And honestly, we checked no to most things mm-hmm. on that list for special needs. I mean, we were open to some minor needs, but anything
right.
significant, we checked no to, because in our minds, we did not think we could handle it. We were in ministry. We were too busy. All of these things that we had said as to why we could not do that. And then we were waiting to be matched with a little guy in Uganda. And Titus's story kind of came out of the blue for us. Someone that we were acquaintances with knew about Titus and asked if we were open to a child with special needs. And we said, well, what does that mean? Because there's such a wide range of what special needs can look like, especially in the adoption community. And so they just said he was going to need some cosmetic surgeries when he came home because he had a scar on his head. And we're like, oh, we can do that. And everything moved pretty quickly. And so we ended up going to Uganda. When we landed in Uganda, we had an email from the baby home director saying that Praise, that was his name in Uganda and is his middle name now, Praise is in the hospital and we don't know if he's going to make it through the night.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, Shane, we flew all the way here and we're not even going to get to bring him home. But he made it through the night, obviously, and we realized pretty quickly there was a lot more going on than what we had anticipated. We had never experienced seizures in a child before, but we realized that that's what was happening with Titus. And his muscle tone was so tight. You know the baby carriers that you like put on and you can like slide them down in front of you? His muscles were so tight that we couldn't spread his legs apart to like slide him down in one of those. And so the Lord moved things pretty quickly for us in Uganda because he was so sick. And we came home. And the very next day after we came home, we went to the doctor and they ended up admitting us into the hospital and just running a lot of tests. And over the years, Titus just has much more significant needs than we ever expected. He has cerebral palsy and a rare seizure disorder called Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. So he's non-mobile, non-verbal. He just got a brand new wheelchair, which is bright neon yellow and super cool.
He looks so adorable in it too. He does.
Yes, it's so much fun. It's funny. This is his second wheelchair. His first wheelchair was hard because it was the first time we've ever done it. And so it's like, oh my gosh, this is so hard to go through this process just emotionally. And this time it got delivered on my birthday. And I was like, this is the best birthday present ever because I was so excited. And so we just realized that Titus had way more needs than we anticipated. And the first year we kind of him being home, we just kind of went through the motions of, you know, just saying all the spiritual things. We were in ministry and we were like, oh, God's good. He's in control. And all those things are true. But we were struggling a lot. And when we hit the year mark of him being home, I think it was just like, okay, this is real and this isn't changing. And he's not changing. And so we are the ones that need to do the changing. And so God just has used Titus and our life in a way of where we expected one thing. God gave us something very different. And now we say, like, that was totally God's goodness and grace. Because had we known all the needs Titus had, we might have been too scared to say yes. But we're so thankful that the Lord did not consult with us, as Shane always says. The Lord did not consult with us on what he was bringing our way. And we're so thankful because God used Titus to change us in ways that we can't even explain. He is just the most incredible kiddo.
And he's 8 years old now?
He's 8. Yes, ma'am.
And so you've seen, you know, and I know you post a lot how you've seen Reagan and Harper. Let's just focus on the older ones. Now I'm kind of going birth order, but you've seen Reagan and Harper really minister to him as well. They adore him.
Yes, they do. And I think, you know, for them, they've always, you know, Titus just is who he is.
Yeah.
And so, like, they love their brother. They don't, you know, I mean, they obviously know he's in a wheelchair, but, like, they just love him. And God has used him to make them more compassionate and kind people. They notice people around them that are different or that have special needs, and they want to include them. So it's been really neat to be able to see how God used Titus for Shane and I, but also for our other kids in the home, just to make them more kind and compassionate people.
Wow, Casey, and I know we have people listening who are considering adoption and foster care, and they're thinking, man, that's just so much bigger than we are. Like, you know, I remember stepping into adoption and thinking, oh, Lord, you got a lot of work to do on these Zell Clan, you know, before we can do something like this. But
yeah.
I know people are thinking that as they listen to your story, like, how could you know, care for Titus and all his needs. And he is so precious. And he is absolutely a bundle of God's grace and goodness. And
absolutely.
Then you do it again. And you bring in two more children, you said, through the foster system. Is that right?
No, they were like private domestic adoptions.
Oh,
so
yeah, okay.
We were, matched with their moms when they were, well, Glory was 3.5 weeks old when we adopted her. And Elliot, we were chosen by his birth mom when she was still pregnant. So we got to walk through the pregnancy with her.
Well, and so how do you blend, like you have so many different dynamics there. Mm-hmm. How have you seen the Lord to just take your children and bind their hearts as siblings?
Yeah, I think it's just been the Lord's goodness, honestly, and that we have just always talked about whatever kiddos in our homes, we start the next process, you know, that God, you know, foster care and adoption is only a thing because of the fall. So, of course, there is, you know, hard and darkness and brokenness and trauma and all of those things. But we serve a God so big that he's able to redeem those things and work in the midst of those things. And so our kids being able to see the brokenness part of a foster care and adoption, I think is important too, and not trying to make it, you know, wrapped in this pretty, you know, unicorn and rainbow box.
Yeah.
But then being able to see the hard part of it, but then also being able to see God work in the goodness of it. And so they just, for them, they're just siblings. And obviously they know that they have adopted siblings and biological siblings, but like for them, it's just the norm. And so that's just kind of how I try to encourage families of, you know, people will look at us and be like, you know, you have all of these children and Titus was special needs, like, and I'm just like, it just becomes your normal. And I know, you know, we think we're not capable of doing a lot of things, and we're not without the power of the Holy Spirit that he enables us to do that, but it just becomes our normal. So for us, Titus is just our son, and we have adjusted to life with him and medicines and surgeries and therapies and wheelchairs and G-tubes and those type of things. That's just become our normal. And so for our kids, it's the same way. So if Shane and I happen to be out of town at the same time together, our oldest daughter, Reagan, like our parents help with our kids a ton, but our oldest daughter, Reagan, knows how to do like his feeding machine and give him his medicine. Like she knows how to do all of that. And she loves being able to do that for him. So it's just become such a part of our normal life that for them, it's just their brother and it's their way to be able to love on him and serve him.
You know, the first time you saw Titus, what was that like when you're thinking that you're just going to get a scar repaired on his head?
Yeah.
And already in your heart, he's your son. Like, I get it. Like, on the flight mm-hmm. over there, you're already, I know I'm that way. Once I saw a picture or got a description, that child was already grafted in my heart and my family.
Yeah. Yeah. For us, when we were flying and then when we landed, like I was saying, they said that they didn't think he was going to make it through the night. So the first time we saw him, he was actually in a hospital and not hospital. Like we're imagining it was like this open air building and Titus was laying underneath a mango tree hooked up to an IV outside. And so the first time I saw him, he just looked much sicker than I imagined in my mind. So that did scare me the first time I saw him. But then we got to go take him to get passport pictures made. They just let us take him from the hospital and we brought him back when we were done. But our driver was trying to hold him because he had on a white shirt and like Titus couldn't sit up on his own. So he was trying to hold Titus so that we could get the passport picture made against his white shirt. And Titus just kept crying, would not stop crying. And so we were like, okay, well, let me try. And so the driver had an extra white shirt in the car and gave it to me. And I just laid it over me. And Titus, like the second I laid him against my chest, he stopped crying.
Oh, wow.
And God just knit us together just to have this, it makes me emotional thinking about it, like just this bond that only could come from the Lord. And he has just wrecked who I am as a person in the most beautiful way. I adore him so much. And so, you know, sometimes it can be hard because I think foster and adoptive parents sometimes struggle if that like first moment you meet them is not instantaneous, like love and emotion, you know? And so they're like, what's wrong with me? I should have this feeling towards this child. And I didn't have that the first second I saw him. It was fear, honestly, the second I saw him, because I'm like, he's way more sick than I imagined. But through the rest of the day and our time in Uganda, God just knit our heart together in such a special way, and he's a total mommy's boy, and I love it.
I can tell. Yes. I really want to encourage our listeners to follow you and Shane on social media because you're getting ready to do this again, and
yes.
I know COVID has brought a lot of changes to that, but
yes.
Just if you have questions about, you know, adoption, international adoption, domestic adoption, following your path, you're pretty transparent.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready. You feel the Lord leading you to do this again.
Yes, we are in the process of adopting from Liberia right now, and we are matched with a little boy who's 6 years old. And traveling, you know, would have probably been this year if it was not for COVID and all the things that come along with that. And so that's really difficult. But we do get to video chat with him every month, and that's really sweet and amazing, but can also be hard. This last time we chatted with him, he asked when we were coming to get him.
Oh, I remember those days. Yeah, that's
heart-wrenching. I wish we could just jump on a plane right now.
Yeah.
And we just assure him that we will come just as soon as we can. And we're able to send pictures to the lady that leads the baby home there. Like, we went to the beach this summer, and we wrote his name in the sand and sent it to her. And she was just saying how excited he was. And so, you know, COVID has definitely slowed the process, but I'm hoping through our video chatting, God is using us to, you know, start building a bond now, so he's not so overwhelmed with meeting us when we do get there eventually.
Yeah, and when COVID lifts, I do encourage, if you're in, you know, entertaining the idea, if you feel God moving in your heart toward international adoption, there are attaching things you can do before you go. Mm-hmm. Like, we sent our kids some little gifts. I mean, nothing big. You didn't want to single them out. You know, the other children aren't getting things so much. So we would send just little items to let them know we love them, we're thinking about them. But the video chatting, it's a blessing, but it's just can be a struggle as well.
Yeah, it's extremely bittersweet. It is an extreme blessing. And sometimes, you know, the connection isn't super awesome, but just getting to hear his voice and him getting to see all the kids, like this last time we talked to him, our son Elliot was telling him that they were going to share a room, and they're going to be in bunk beds, and there's bunk beds in the children's home. So we were asking our little boy where he likes to sleep, and he sleeps on the top bunk right now, and our son Elliot sleeps on the bottom bunk, and so it's going to work out perfectly.
Oh, that's great! They already know where their bunks are going to be. That's fantastic.
Yes.
But I know that video chatting, because you just want to jump through that screen and just put your arms around them. And you know, and the Lord just hadn't opened that up yet where you could do that.
Yes. I think just it's another way that God is teaching us to trust him through this process. And I always say, like, adoption and foster care will sanctify you in a way that few other things do. Just trusting his goodness in the midst of really hard things that we don't understand. And rarely does it go according to what we have in our mind, but you're able to look back and see God's faithfulness through each moment and each process.
Oh, it's so true. The Lord's not just recruiting the church to meet physical needs. He's not. And you said it so well. It's sanctification. He's discipling us. He's grooming us into the people he wants us to be, and he's using these precious souls to do it.
Yes, absolutely. We've been able to see that in our family, and just the heart, you know, that he's given us towards our kids' birth families. And we don't know all of them, but just what he's taught us through our kids and having compassion to not only our kids' situation, but their birth family situation as well. It's been, you know, just such a learning process and a sanctifying process of how to live missionally, not just towards our kids, but everyone involved in the adoption and foster process.
Yeah, and you're just a reminder too that if you have bio children and you're bringing in foster children or an adoptive child into your home, the Lord's also working in your bio kid's life. He's working in their hearts, and it started with your husband, with Shane. He grew up. He grew up in an environment of foster care, and it did a work on his heart.
Yes, absolutely. And I already hear that, like, our two oldest kiddos who are 14 and 9, they're already saying, like, ways that they want to either be foster parents or adoptive parents or serve in that way. And so for them, it's like just already in their mind that that's something that they're going to do, because they've been able to see how God's worked in our family now, and they want to be able to love, you know, families and kiddos in vulnerable situations as well.
So Reagan's how old now?
She's 14.
So she's 14, and she knows how to care for Titus. And I know you have backup. I know you have parents, and I know you have community that helps you there, especially in your church family. I know you all have a big community of foster and adoptive families there, and people who, you know, the body that engages in foster care and adoption. But when you're away, that your 14-year-old can minister to your son, Man, what does that do for you as a mom?
It just makes me so proud of her. And we, you know, Shane loves teenagers. That's a lot of what he does.
That's
for
right.
NAM is the National Next Gen Evangelism Director for NAM. And so we have a heart for teenagers. And a lot of people were like, you know, oh, you're about to have a teenager. But for us, we're like, yes, we're about to have a teenager because she's incredible. But she's also old enough now to watch all of her siblings. So we don't have to ask my mom or dad to watch our kids for us to go on a date night. You know, Reagan can do that now. She can kind of hold down the fort long enough for us to go to dinner and those things. But she has just, I've been able to see God use her brother, specifically Titus, just to mature her in a way where she just loves him well, sees other people through the lens of the gospel. And she just makes me so incredibly proud. Me and her went on a trip to Uganda last year. We were there this time last year. I've been sharing a lot about that trip in the last couple of days, but she got up in front of 600 women in Uganda and shared about what it's like to have siblings that are not biologically related to you.
Because
we were doing a conference to women there about caring for kids that aren't biologically yours, because that happens a ton in Uganda, but the treatment is not always the same towards our biological kids versus the kids that are not their biological kids. So we were doing a conference of how we do all these things over the overflow of what God's done for us first. And so sharing that, but then Reagan got up and shared about caring for kids or having siblings that are not biologically related to her. And I was just so proud, and it connected so much with the women in the crowd. So just getting to hear and see how God's used Titus and Gloria and Elliot and eventually our son in Liberia in her life has just been really neat to watch.
So when you're talking with those families in Uganda, because sometimes it's a cultural issue, and you're talking with families, talking with ladies in Uganda about taking in children that they didn't birth, and then Reagan sets up there. I saw the picture. She was so brave and so beautiful.
Brave.
Yes, up there sharing in front of those ladies. When she did that, are you seeing their hearts move? Are you seeing a change that locals will begin to care for their own?
Yes. I mean, it was so neat. It was, you know, me and two other women shared different things. I shared about, you know, what I was saying, that, you know, doing it out of the overflow of what God's done for us. And then the other ladies did more of like the practical part of trauma and those type of things to talk to the ladies about. But when Reagan got up to share, it was like their faces almost changed to be able to hear a child share how God has used her Ugandan siblings, especially related to, you know, them, because they're Ugandan women, and getting to hear how God used, you know, Titus with special needs in her life. It was really neat. And at the end, we got to ask the ladies, like, you know, anything that they learned or how God spoke to them throughout the day. And multiple of them were saying that getting to hear Reagan's story of having siblings that aren't biologically related to her, because at the end they asked her, what's the one thing that you would want, you know, the ladies to hear? And she was just saying, like, I would just want, you know, for you to treat whatever kids you have in your home the same way, the way that my parents do me and my siblings. And that was so relatable to some of the women. One lady shared about how her husband had an affair, and the other lady got pregnant, and she told her husband that he could have nothing to do with that child. But then that child's mom died, and at first she was not going to let the child come and live with them. But after the conference, she said she was going to go home and tell her husband, like, yes, I want to be this child's mother and care for him like my own.
Wow.
And so we were like, oh my gosh, yes, that's exactly what we were praying and hoping for through the day. And a lot of that had to do with Reagan sharing about her story.
Oh, God's grace and goodness. And we never know. It's never ever about just adopting or fostering that one child. It's the Lord working in the world. And one family saying yes. One beautiful 14-year-old saying, yes, Mama, I'll serve. And and in doing that, seeing the hearts of women changed across the ocean, seeing the hearts of families changed in the local church, because our children grasped a hold of this, what it means to actually wash the feet of someone else. What a beautiful picture of God's grace and goodness. I know every time you talk about Titus, you always say that he's God's grace and goodness. And so we continue to see this story play out every time you share.
Yeah. And that's the incredible thing. Even that was my first time back in Uganda since adopting Titus. So to be back there and be able to share a lot of what I shared a lot about Titus's story. And being able to share about, you know, him and how God has purpose for him and uses him, even though he has a lot of quote unquote disabilities. One lady came the second day we did it. And at the end, she basically got up and said that she has a son with similar needs to Titus. And she's never heard that God loves her son. Because especially in Uganda, kids with, you know, unique needs are viewed as a burden, that their parents have done something wrong to cause them to have these kind of needs. And so she was just saying she's never heard anyone say that God loves her son or has purpose for him. And when I got done teaching, she actually went and got him and brought him back to the conference. So I got to meet him and pray over him. And that night I called Shane. It was just in tears of like, who would have thought 7 years ago when we adopted Titus that we were going to get to come back to Uganda and share about the goodness of the Lord through Titus's life and the encouragement that that was going to bring to this mom that has never heard that God loves her son and has purpose for him.
Oh, you know, I just want to, you know, Casey, I just want to live my life in a way, and I know you would agree, that it continues to serve and love after I'm long gone, because we're just not here that long. And
absolutely,
as God's word says, we're just a vapor or a mist. And, you know, what when you put your yes on the table, your family, and then you were able to go to Uganda and serve, you know, that lives way beyond what our short life could ever give or do.
Yes, ma'am.
So sweet. Well, I know that this journey can get hard, and there can be struggles, and we all agree with that. That's why we do the podcast. We just want to encourage families in this ministry. What are some things that you do or some suggestions you may have for some families who may feel that they're just overwhelmed right now or they're just really hurting, maybe just in a struggle time?
I think community is one of the biggest things. You mentioned our community. We're in a small group of families, or seven families, and we're all involved in foster care or adoption and or special needs parenting in some way. And just having a group of women and men that we can go to and say, this, you know, I've had to argue with insurance over Titus's wheelchair, or I've had to advocate for him at school, or, you know, I can see like the trauma affecting our kiddos in different ways, or those type of things, like having other men and women that I can go to or just send a text to and they can get it without having to go into too much detail. And that can kind of like hold my hands up when I can't do it myself, and just be that encouragement. And we've been able to see that within our community. When one person's struggling, we can step in for them, and then it's eventually our turn to struggle and they step in for us. So just being able to have that. So I think community, and, you know, a lot of times community can be hard to find, but it won't just happen. So it's got to be something that we're actively pursuing for our life and for our kids' lives. I mean, and that's another special thing. Our kids have other kids around them that look like them and have been adopted too. So they're able to have that community themselves. And I know it sounds super cliche, but I mean, just being in the word and flooding our minds with God's word. And, you know, in the mornings I've gotten to where I get up super early before everybody, I go ride my bike, I listen to podcasts, read my Bible, listen to worship music. And it just helps me set my mind right for the day, and asking the Lord to help me, you know, live out the day for his glory and for others' good. And so I really think, you know, that can sound like a Sunday school answer, but it's so true. I think just being in the word, because how are we supposed to live in the power of the Spirit when we are not in his word and know his word and know that the power that he's given us to live? So I just think community and being in God's word is so important.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And being in God's word, like you said, getting exercise, listen to, you know, to purposed podcasts, those that we know are going to encourage us and give us tools, and leaning on our community who's walking with us in that, it really prepares us for the day ahead. The Lord uses those tools to really encourage us because, you know, just your just your, you know, person that maybe God's called to do something else, they don't get the, you know, that they can't shoulder the trauma of this like families can who are already in it. And you're rising early, seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm going to do self-care and I'm going to do soul care. And so that I'm prepared for the day to serve you. That those are great tips. And I appreciate you sharing them. I really do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it just helps too, like when we can, you know, focus when we get up early, or Shane is not a morning person at all. So he does all his Bible reading and stuff at night, because he's not a morning person. But I think when we can be in the Word, it just helps us remember that like the world does not revolve around us.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, obviously God loves and cares for us, but when we're in his Word, we get to see like the big kingdom picture and not just Casey and Shane picture. And when we can see like his kingdom work and can put our mind and heart on like the big picture of his kingdom, it helps us live each day. It helps me when Titus is suffering, like one day this will end. And I'm able to see like God's goodness even through his suffering. And I can tell when I'm not focusing on God's word or in my community that it's really hard for me to see God's big picture in Titus's suffering of his daily seizures. But when I'm in God's word, I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not, doesn't mean I like it. This is not fun. I still don't love it, but I can see like your goodness in the midst of it. So I just think those things help us be able to think outside of ourselves a lot more.
Oh, thank you for that reminder. And that's a good word, that he is faithful in every season. He truly is. And even like you said, on the days when Titus is struggling, or maybe his health has, you know, taken a turn that day, or, you know, until medicines can get tweaked, or, you know, whatever we face with our children. Maybe it's maybe you're a mom that's having a struggling day with trauma. You know, you're having a child that's just, things have hit the wall today. We understand. And I just think that's such a great word, Casey, that the Lord is faithful in every single season. And he does call us. He does call us to self-care, and to he gives us those tools so that we are ready to face those days.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for reminding us that the Lord can do all things. And we will be following your journey on social media as you get ready to go to Liberia and bring home number 6. And 6 is a full nest, I'll tell you. That's what we did. And the Lord also gave us 6 grandchildren at this point. So it's a full nest.
Wow.
And it is so much fun. And
that's awesome.
Kevin and I are just so grateful for you and Shane and for your faithfulness. And we hope to hear from you again.
Yes, I'd love that.
Well, I'm so grateful for your willingness to share today. And, you know, the journey of life, Casey, you're right, can be challenging. It really can. But it is good and it is beautiful. And the Lord's plan is just, we can't even imagine it. As Scripture says, what he has for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But the good and the beautiful, those moments are just so worth it. To know these precious people the Lord wants to bring in our life that we get to parent and do life with. And I know you agree with me. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
No way. I wouldn't either.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend. And you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.